let's look at Psalm 3. It's a Psalm of David, and actually all but four of the Psalms in Book 1, which is Psalm 1 through 41, identify David as the author. And the word psalm is used for the first time in the book. This was a psalm that could be sung with musical instruments. The first of 14 Davidic psalms that contain an introduction or superscription in Hebrew that states the actual historical episode or event that prompted David to write it. These psalms were written in a background of real people of God, and they were facing real problems. It's also the first of several prayers that shows up in the book of Psalms, and this is the first psalm to use the word Selah after three paragraphs, which means pause or stop and think about or consider what you just read. This particular psalm presents the subject of great troubles and trials that may come against God's people, specifically through other family members, and the story of David's flight from Absalom is found in 2 Samuel 15 through 18. You see, because of David's sin with Bathsheba, Nathan the prophet made a prediction to David that there'd be trouble from within his own family. And Absalom became the fulfillment of Nathan's prediction. He turned the hearts of Israel against David. He chased David out of his own city, Jerusalem. He took his father's concubines and he put out a death contract on David. So while all that's happening, David was a hurting man, and it was during this time that he wrote Psalm 3. Some conclude on the basis of that fifth verse there that this was a morning psalm, which David wrote in the morning to be sung in the morning. Others conclude that it was an evening song, one written by David in the evening to be sung in the evening. Well, truth is, both morning and evening times are good times to read and think about this psalm, and especially when you find yourself facing serious trouble and opposition from adversaries who may be in your own family. So there are three ways we could look at it. We could look at it a primary or national or personal application. And the connection between Psalm 2 and Psalm 3 is this. In Psalm 2, we learn David is God's installed king. He's also God's appointed leader. And through him would come God's son, the ultimate king, who would take over the world by force and reign. In Psalm 3, we see adversaries trying to destroy God's installed king. These adversaries are in an uproar. They have united together, and they're seeking to destroy David. So Psalm 3 is David's reaction to all this. This is the pattern for David, finding peace and tranquility in the midst of overwhelming troubles and trials. And the point to see here is this. When we find ourselves surrounded by adversity and trouble, even from our own family members, our peace and security will be found in praying to God, in trusting God, and in waiting for deliverance from God. So let's remember that in some ways David deserved these negative things that were happening to him, but David had faced up to his sin, he had confessed in sin, and now he was in the position to pray to God, trust in God, and wait for God to intervene on his behalf. There may be times when we find ourselves facing terrible adversity, and we know we deserve it. And in those times, if we have honestly faced our sin before God and confessed it and turned from it, we can cry out to God and expect him to deliver us. So this is what David does in Psalm 3. So let's look at this. First of all, the outnumbered trouble of David. Look at those first two verses in Psalm 3. It says, O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. Selah. As one reads these verses, it's obvious that the real problem for David was one of numbers. Many, as opposed to just a few, were against David. Three times in Hebrew, the word many appears to describe three types of enemies. The word many is one that speaks of a number that is very large, very great. David identified the three main groups, as many groups, as being many adversities, many rising up, many saying. The number must have been astronomical, because later in verse 6 he specifically mentions 10,000s of people. That word adversary describes an enemy who causes great distress and affliction. Everywhere David turned, people were against him, and the numbers kept growing. Everywhere David went, people were rising up against him and speaking out against him. And specifically, they were saying God would never deliver him because of his sin. The word deliver is the Hebrew word for salvation, Yeshua. This word salvation or deliverance occurs 136 times in the Psalms, and most contexts refer to some physical and emotional deliverance from something bad rather than salvation from hell to eternal life. Now, at about this point, David adds the word Selah, and this particular word means to pause or rest and be silent. If this was a psalm to be sung, then at the point some pause or rest was to occur that would enable the people to reflect on that point. The point was that great numbers of people were against David. They hated David. They were rising up against David and were speaking out against David. Now, why would God want us to stop and think about that? Because God wants us to know that his son, his king, his people will often find themselves in this situation, and when they do, they need to turn to God for deliverance. This was true for David, it's true for us, and it's true for Israel now, and also when she will be going through some deep tribulation. Big numbers against God or his people do not intimidate God. And so perhaps right now you're surrounded by many troubles. There's physical problems, family problems, emotional problems, relationship problems, financial problems, and spiritual problems. No matter what the trouble or how much trouble, you can always turn to God. There are not problems too many for God to handle. God delights in coming to the rescue of his people when they cry out to him. Selah, stop and think about that. And then we come to this personal confidence of David. The only person David could trust and rely on was God. David certainly was not getting any positive confidence from most people who surrounded him, but he was getting his confidence and encouragement from God. He had a firm conviction and knowledge that God had not abandoned him. So when you find yourself surrounded by negatives and by adversaries who love to point out your failures and your flaws, you'll not get any support by looking to them but to God. And there are five realizations that David had about God when he was outnumbered by adversaries. Well, first of all, God gave him protection. We see it that first part of verse 3, "But you, O Lord, are a shield about me." You see, Jehovah was David's shield. He protected David from every side, from every battle, and from every attack. David was a military man who spent hours in battle and in war. He knew the protective value of a shield, but the military shield was typically limited to one side, not God. God protected David from all kinds of attacks that came at him from many different directions. This is one of the benefits of having adversaries, because we see God's protective hand. But then God gave him some prestige. He says, "My glory and the lifter of my head." David was very low. He had sinned and people were against him. David's head, which at one time was held so high and honorable, now it was hung low. And God lifted his head, which is a way of saying, God gave me prestige. He gave me dignity and honor. David had sinned and he felt like such a loser, but God gave him his worth. When you're low, especially when you have failed, you can begin to feel like a loser. And sometimes people will lash out against you and laugh at you. It is a wonderful thing to know that if we turn to God, he can and will lift us up and restore our dignity and honor. And then God gave him answers. Look at verse 4. "I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill, Selah." David literally, with his voice, cried out to the Lord, and God answered him. That specific prayer was that God would keep him safe, and God answered that prayer. So notice that David inserts the word Selah, which also, again, means to stop and pause and think about this. Think about that. Think about the fact that David had sinned, found himself surrounded by these enemies, and he went to God in prayer. He cried out to him, and God answered him. There's a guy that was a close friend of Martin Luther. His name was Philip Melanchthon. Once asked how it was that David was ordained to be king by God, and he had so many troubles when the Psalms show, Martin Luther said, "David was not acquainted with many good days. He was plagued by the ungodly and false teachers. He saw that banded against him, he endured in all the troubles, taught David his lessons to pray. Luther said that when David was without trouble, he grew giddy-headed and secure. It also happens that God gave him rest. Look at verse 5 with me. It says this, I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. There were many people who wanted David dead, yet night after night he would go to sleep and rest. How is it possible to get a good night's sleep when people are out to kill you? The answer is God sustained him. That word sustained means God upheld him and aided him all through the night. David could go to sleep at night and rest because he knew God would watch over him and support him. He went to sleep and he woke because he was sustained by God. And then God gave him bravery. Look at verse 6. He says, I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. He's a brave man. Even as a young man, he was extremely fearless. When the rest of the army of Israel was afraid of David, it was David who said, I'll fight him. We learn, afraid of Goliath, it was David who said, I'll fight him. We learn here why David was so brave. It was not because of his own strength or fighting power. It was due to his confidence in God as his protector. It's been said that one of the bravest men in history was Oliver Cromwell. And in the 1600s, he became known as a protector of England, Scotland, and Ireland. He was a brave military man who fought in civil wars, trained a first-class army and navy, and fought bishops of churches who were not expounding the word of God. Cromwell was once asked to give an explanation for his bravery. He answered this, because I fear God, I have no fear of man. God gave him his bravery, and God is stronger than all our enemies combined, even 10,000s of people, and God is our protector. And then a specific request of David we see in verse 7. Arise, O Lord, save me, O God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Thousands of people were against David and were literally trying to track him down. He didn't have much money or much food. Humanly speaking, things did not look good. David was boxed in, but what he did, this one thing that every believer should do when they find themselves in this moment, he went to God and asked God for deliverance. He asked God to come to his rescue. David had seen God smite his enemies before. He had seen God shatter their teeth, which is imagery of God destroying the effectiveness, strength, and ability of any enemy by making them helpless. David is requesting that God come to his rescue and take down all his enemies. And then lastly, we see verse 8, salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people, Selah. And so this is the sum and substance of doctrine. God is the one who saves physically, and God is the one who saves spiritually. God blesses his people. This was a precise doctrine to David. And not only did he believe it, but he counted on it in his prayers. Salvation does not belong to us. It belongs to God. It's not because of our merit. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Any person who's surrounded by trouble may go to God and ask for his salvation if they believe that, no matter what the trouble, salvation belongs to the Lord. If you need physical salvation, cry out to the Lord. If you need spiritual salvation, cry out to the Lord. If you need financial salvation, cry out to the Lord. If you need emotional salvation, cry out to the Lord. He is the one who can deliver us from tens of thousands of enemy. It's clear teaching of Psalm 3. And before David closed the psalm, he wrote, again wrote, Selah. Stop. Don't think about that.